You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hari huringato Anei heringa koromo ka Reau kai poho tau heke I whakaweto I te kanara I puapua tonu e te tau a koranga po whakatiri whana I aringa moka e kore te rau e tipu e a koranga po whakakikiri te rā konui e he mana ko te kora I kore a Ke ai te tawara Wepu a te arero O korome He arotau Whakamahua Te rongoa Torureanga I honei Whakatiri whana I aringa moka E kore te rau me tipu e A koranga po whakakikiri Te rā konui e He mana ko te kura I kore a
Ko Akoranga pō tēnei waiata, ko Anna Coddington te kai waiata, and kia ora e nō mai ki te hōtaka parakuihi. Anna, how are you this morning?
Kia ora, kei te pai ahau.
It is so nice to be able to chat to you about this gorgeous new EP, Mana Wahine. Kia ora and congrats.
Oh, tēnā koe.
You must be feeling stoked to have this out in the world.
I am. It does feel nice. I mean, pretty strange circumstances to be releasing, which, I mean, you know, we're all experiencing that at the moment. But it is nice to have it out there and doing its thing, and people seem to be enjoying it, so that's really cool.
It's a really gorgeous project, and for people who loved Beams, this is a really special follow-up in many ways because you've done reo Māori versions of some of the tracks on that. But a lot of people who talk about working in songs across different languages say how when you write a new version, it's not just a translation, it does become its own new thing. Is that something you've felt with this project?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So Stacey and Scotty Morrison did the translations for me which was awesome because they're both from Te Arawa as well, which is one of my iwi. So,
mean.
Scotty, and, you know, there's a couple of things in there that are from our iwi that are specific to us, which is really special. And just, I mean, he's so, his grasp of the language is just really deep. Like, he's put stuff in there that's from really old proverbs, like there's the chorus of themes has words from, they told me they're from like a love spell, like an old Te Arawa love spell binds people together, and yeah, just lots of really cool stuff like that that he explained to me. So it was a whole journey, but yeah, what you're saying is right. It's, you can't just do direct translations from English into Māori because it doesn't really make sense from a Māori worldview, because you know, like every language has quirks, and you just wouldn't say, you wouldn't express that sentiment with those words in that language.
Totally. And it all kind of comes back to that idea of language and culture being so entwined. What you say expresses so much more than just, you know, what you're trying to get across. It's kind
tells
of bringing
a lot about how that culture sees the world. Exactly.
Absolutely. How has it been for you working on this project? I mean, the track we just listened to, Akoranga Pō, is quite an incredible and a very personal song, in the sense that you're talking about the vulnerabilities of reclaiming language. Can you tell us a little bit about how this whole process has been for you as a woman, a Māori woman, and also as a writer and somebody kind of working through that?
Yeah, it felt quite meta to translate that song into Māori and record it and release it. But yeah, so I wrote the song Night Class about my journey learning Te Reo Māori, and it is very personal, but it's also not unique to me at all. Like, that is the experience of most Māori people of my generation, is that Te Reo was beaten out of our families two or three generations ago. So that is not unique to me at all. So I wanted to write the song, and I wanted to be personal about it because I knew it would speak to lots of people.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was... it's pretty heavy kaupapa, and it's part of why the song musically is quite jaunty, because I wanted it to be listenable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I thought if I made the song itself really serious, and you know, to me that kaupapa is, I mean, it's dark, but I guess it's also hopeful in that lots of people in my generation are trying to turn it around. But, yeah, I mean, it's just layers and layers. I could talk about it for hours. It's things like, you know, I've come to the realisation at some point that it may not actually be me that becomes fluent in speaking Māori and reclaims it. It might be my kids. It might be the next generation, which was quite a buzzy thing to realise, because you think it's going to be one way. You think you're going to walk into your Māori class and at some point you're going to be like wearing a korowai and wiri in your hands and doing a karanga and be like this fluent speaker. But it's difficult. It's really hard to become fluent in this language because there are no contexts in central Auckland, where I live anyway, where I can just go and speak Māori, like in an immersion environment. Those environments just don't really exist outside of the classes that I'm doing or whatever. So I've been trying to build, you know, networks of real speaking people around me, but it's, it's pretty intense. So translating that song in particular was cool. And again, cool to just hear the way that Scotty did it. And really great for the whole project to do it and actually have enough grasp of the language to know what it means and what he was saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like my deal is not good enough yet to write on my own in Māori, not to a level that I would be satisfied with. Although, you know, possibly that's just me putting barriers up for myself. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that's the joy for me in songwriting is playing with language and having a good enough grasp to kind of, you know, try different things. So, yeah, it was kind of, I'm not quite there, but I do have enough to appreciate the translations that have been done, and there was a lot of learning for me as well, so it was great.
It must be pretty special then to have such a crew around you and a community working on this project, because I see that Rhea Hall has also been part of this process for you, and even in the cover art for this, it feels like a very collective work in the way that it's come about. Has that
it's
been
fun.
A really uplifting thing? Have you found that that's been a really enjoyable way of working, or how's that process been?
Yeah, definitely, and that's something I started with Beams as well, is just kind of bringing people in around the kaupapa, because, you know, Beams, I talked to you about it, was largely about my journey into and through motherhood. And so I got a bunch of mums to work on it.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, like with things, with kaupapa like that, I feel like they're really difficult to explain. It's really difficult to explain learning to speak Māori as a second language as a Māori person with Māori whakapapa. That's such a hard concept to explain to anyone. And it's also kind of traumatic to try and do it.
Yeah.
So, and same with motherhood. Like, it's really hard to understand having a tiny baby and being so grateful for it on one hand and finding it so difficult on the other.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So I just was like, I can't explain that. I just need to bring in people who already know.
Yeah.
So that's what I did for both of these projects. And, yeah, so for this one, Mana Wahine, of course, you know, I wanted Māori women on it, so I asked Rhea to write that song with me, and that was brilliant because we're very good friends, and she's got young babies herself as well, and we talked about what I wanted to get at with the song, which was a kōrero about Atua Wahine, Māori female gods, who I'd been reading about them, and they were largely sidelined with colonisation, but we had like loads of them. And then colonisation happened, and we really only hear about a handful, and, you know, like, the versions we hear aren't necessarily the way things were back in the day. So there's just really interesting kōrero about all that, and we have all these amazing female gods for specific things. Like, we have one for childbirth and motherhood that I didn't even know about, called Hine Tiwiwa. And when I found that out, I was like, man, that would have been really good to know. That would have been great to know that we have this whakapapa to these gods, and we have these specific kind of deities that we can think of and, you know, draw strength from. Rhea helped me with that, and I asked Stacey to help with the translations, because I know that she's a second language learner of Māori. And Te Kahu Rere Moa did the artwork. She's Wellington-based, and I've never met her, but I just love her artwork.
It's beautiful, really beautiful.
I stalk her on Instagram, so I just sent her a message, and I was like, e hoa! So, yeah, it was cool, and it was, you know, just sort of a brief explanation of what it is, and they just get it and make something perfect for it.
I wonder, thinking about what you were saying about the difficulty of not having reo Māori spaces in you know, the central city, for example, or for people who are sort of separated from their Turanga Waiwai, it's a really ongoing difficult problem. But I wonder how you feel about this kind of move we've been seeing in recent years. I mean, reo Māori music has always existed. It's always had a really hearty kaupapa, but it's starting to get this mainstream attention in recent times. I wonder if you feel like that's something that in the future might be a positive space where we see more, you know, collective action around reo Māori. Is that something you feel maybe hopeful about or positive about?
I think that's a positive thing now. I think it already is a positive thing. And me mihi tata kia whae hende wehi mohi, mo tera, that was her vision. You know, she did those anthems albums, and it's all kind of grown from that, I think. And they got funding in place to make it bigger. And I feel like that's been her vision really coming into fruition this year, and it's been really impactful, in my opinion, not just for putting a bit more reo into the environment, you know, into these urban environments where we don't hear it much. And for me, that's like, you know, it's an opportunity for me as a language learner to learn a word or phrase here and there, so that's cool. It's not going to get me fluent, but it really helps. But the big thing about things like that is if it shifts the attitudes of people towards the reo, and kind of increases the value of it in people's hearts, that's a really big deal to me, because my kids are are in full immersion Māori language education, and they don't hear it as soon as they leave their classroom, let alone the school gates. I mean, they're in Māori immersion units in a mainstream kura. So as soon as they're out in the playground, it's English everywhere, and they leave the school gates, it's English everywhere, and it's really easy for kids like that to get it in their mind that it's Māori's only for the classroom. So to have music in Māori everywhere in all contexts, for me, that's a really big deal for that reason. So, yeah, I think it's good, and I think the tide is turning, so that's you know, it is, it's positive.
It is, yeah, and I mean, I'm sure this album is going to mean a lot to a lot of people because it's gorgeous, Anna. It's such a beautiful record, and you can feel the love that's gone into making these tracks as well. Even if your knowledge of the language is very new or it's not there yet, there is like a real special quality to this record which comes through really strong. We're going to listen to Mana Wahine now. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, I know there's kind of wordplay going on in the title of this, which is also the EP title. Can you explain a little bit about that for us, please?
Yeah, so when I went to Rhea with the song idea, I just had the chorus, really. I just had the one idea for the chorus line, which is Manawa, 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 Hine. And Manawa means heart, Hine means girl. But it also, you can pass it as Manawa, Hine. So Manawa, Hine means heart of a girl, heart of girls, and mana wahine means mana of women. Like, it doesn't really directly translate that kind of strength, prestige, all of those things, of women. And as I explained earlier, it's kind of just a call to Māori girls and Māori women to know that we have this mana mairano handed down to us from these atua and from our ancestors as well. Even though we have a lot of really awful statistics attached to us as people, Māori women are like the most incarcerated. We have the worst health outcomes, you know, like there's like women of colour everywhere. We kind of get the shortest end of every statistical stick. So yeah, it's just kind of it's an encouragement really to, because it's easy to grow up feeling bad about aspects of yourself when they're presented negatively everywhere. So it's just kind of like, no, feel good. You're awesome. You have this amazing mana and whakapapa, and, you know, it's cool.
It is cool. Hey, kia ora, thank you so much, Anna Coddington, for speaking with us this morning about your gorgeous new EP, Mana Wahine, and we're going to listen to that title track now. Have a lovely rest of your morning, and we look forward to seeing you in person, hopefully sooner rather than later.
One day, yep.
Cross our fingers, and we'll all go get vaxxed. Kia pai tōra. Yep. Ka kite.
95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.